Greetings, everybody. This is Guru Rugu, and you're listening to Guru Rugu's Experimental Meditation Hour on Kaechung Radio, broadcasting live from the Chinatown province in Los Angeles. We've got a very, very special guest for you tonight. Miss Amanda Ackerman is here and will be reading something for you in just a little bit. And if we have any time left over, we may be listening to a very special recording of a previous show in retrograde and sped up. So, but for now, let's get things started with some music. We'll be back in just a minute.
All right, you guys, this isn't a penny rate. This is the big game. Get out there and hit them hard. Hit them high. Hit them low. Run. Pass. Block. Sock. Rock. Knock. Trojans, to your horses. Fight on for OC. I'm in for life. For victory. Our alma mater. What's up with you? Fight on and win for OC. Victory, fight on for all the sea. I mean, fight on for victory. RL, my mother dear, it's up to you. Fight on and win for all the sea. Fight on to victory. Fight on, fight on for all the sea. I mean, fight on for victory. RL, my mother dear, it's up to you. Fight on, win for all the sea. Fight on, victory, fight on!
There's a story. The gypsies know it's true, that when your love wears golden earrings, she belongs to you. An old love story that's known to very few. But if you wear those gold earrings, love could come to you. And when you're by the burning fire, they will glow with every coal. You will hear desire whisper low inside your soul. So, be my gypsy, make love your guiding light, and let this pair of golden earrings cast its spell tonight.
Greetings, everyone. This is Guru Rugu, back with you on the Experimental Meditation Hour here at Kaechung Radio. I have a very, very special guest with me tonight, Amanda Ackerman, a wonderful writer, an experimentalist, who is going to be reading from her chapbook, I Fell in Love with a Monster Truck. And so here's Amanda Ackerman.
Thank you, Guru Rugu. It's nice to be here on the radio with you, doing these experimental meditations. This is going to be a story, so I hope everyone can just sit back and listen. Now, as you will see, I started with a simple premise that if I contorted my body into certain physical positions, that they would evoke certain parallel thoughts. For example, I knew if I pointed my left arm straight up and left my right arm to drape at my side, my mind would ultimately flash on lightning or the inner workings of a musical instrument. But you see, there is truly only one thought I seek to have. Competing with this idea is, of course, the idea of fitness, that by contorting my body, I would not be breaking free, but rather shoving and hollowing myself into modes of compliance. We all wish to be nurtured and adored. Therefore, I seek a spore, a mushroom spore of truth. And so I begin. There is a rabbit. Sometimes the rabbit lives in one field and sometimes in another. Sometimes when I march through one of the fields, I will see the little hare tumbling around or kicking up clouds of dry grass. The rabbit has lovely eyes, a lovely nose, an adorable mouth, and beautiful teeth. One day I saw the rabbit and decided that I wanted to fit into this world. It occurred to me that I would start by buying a hat, so I went to a store that sold them. The lady who worked there, she reminded me vaguely of a walking antique trellis, reached up high to pull down several hats off of high shelves. None of them fit me, despite being very practical, and some very haute. Then the woman hinged forward at the waist to reach into some low drawers and pulled out some very special hats that weren't on display. None of them fit either. None of the hats fit. It wasn't a matter of the size of my head exactly. It wasn't that the hats were too big or too small. They just didn't fit. The saleswoman politely suggested that I consider instead a form of exercise. She sat me down squarely in the middle of the store among the hats, belts, and scarves and began to give me instructions. Round your feet through your heels and feel more connected to your feet. Straighten your back. This will create healthy internal organs, and reach your right knee over to your left. Stretch your left arm to the right, look under your left shoulder, and twist excessively. I hovered there as I felt imprinted with a new heart. I was becoming a better version of myself. When the woman saw that she had succeeded, she asked for a form of payment. Cash, cash, and she sighed. I looked at her straight in her telescopic eyes and I proclaimed, "Dear lady, and while you were talking, I was trying to think. I was trying to think. The thought struck me. None of us shall profit from the suffering of others." Part 2. On that afternoon, my heart was silently bleeding as I knocked a hole in the shop's wall in order to exit onto the street. No one teaches you how to live, so you have to teach yourself. I lived in a great big city, but increasingly had found that I was having difficulty walking through doors, as I was having trouble fitting in them. Again, it wasn't a matter of their size, nor mine, but of something else entirely. My biggest problem as of late was that I could not fit into my monster truck with any regularity. My mobility was heavily restricted as a result, as I could only go most places on foot or by train. You see, I'm one of those rare people who actually remembers being born. It is the truth. In fact, it so happens I was born in the back seat of a monster truck. I remember entering the world with a tremendous sense of general well-being. Drawing in my second or third breath, and life was a river. I remember the colors of cars looking vague and illuminated like chewing gum, and there were rubber star wheels and the reviving tarry glow of the arena. Then I choked on, and I forget. Someone had to take my forearm and get me belly up. Still, some days I have the bittersweet luck of fitting into my monster truck, but today was not one of them. I was standing in front of my apartment building near a chain-link fence. Another person who lived in the city happened to walk by and saw me struggling to get in the door. He had an anonymous face like a lagoon. "This may be none of my business," he said, "but perhaps you should try an exercise or two." He stood me down on the tepid asphalt and began to shout orders. I leaned back on my heels, locking my knees at the same time. My chest was up, my hands were above my head, and I kept kicking back with my legs, absorbing the sound of his voice, absorbing the sunlight. I kept going when my body begged me to stop. I looked like this, like I wanted so badly to be in a lean state. There was a tingle in my back. I turned on my head. I dug deeper into my rotator cuffs and produced rotation. At certain intervals, I looked like sculpture. Landing softly with my feet, then pulling my feet in, reaching high overhead, now externally rotating my shoulders. Then my fists lined up with my elbows, and I slowly rotated one arm up at a right angle with an isometric tug. I felt completely neutral about being alive. The gentleman perceived this to be a perfect state of balance, as if I were strung up in the world exactly between two polarities, like a knot in the center of a very taut cord. Then he asked for payment. He rubbed his chin. "Cash." "Sir," I exclaimed, "if only you would take the following vow as I have. I will not profit from the suffering of others. I will not profit from the suffering of others, children especially." Part 3. Subsequently, I have a wish. If only we could see the effects of our actions in the world more immediately. When I had first moved to this city in my early 20s, I lived in a very thin-walled apartment. I had a neighbor who possessed a fascination with reptiles and who therefore owned a pet snake. The summers were very hot and we did not have air conditioning in the building. Sometimes at around dawn, I was sure I could hear the snake wriggling in its cage, making a sound akin to dry glue sidling through sawdust, winking with his lower eyes, eyelids one eye at a time. My neighbor claimed that the snake blew kisses to friendly people. The snake was a pale yellow. I really wanted to fit. My cheeks were burning. You could say my cheeks were scorching. I had successfully gotten on the train and had found an open seat next to a window where I had been sitting and focusing on the arch of my lower back. I rang for my stop, but when it came time to exit through the train, once again I found that I could not fit through the door. I wish to remind you, I'm quite average in size, and size was not the issue. The door simply did not fit. Being too polite to hold up the train, I ended up riding it all day until it was dark, past 2 a.m, and the train had parked itself in the station for the night. The conductor was startled to see me sitting in my seat, and at first mistook me for a tramp, or at least a run-of-the-mill lost soul. However, after I explained my situation, her demeanor softened significantly, much like an off-duty police officer's would. "All right," she said. "We will get you through the door. Face your toes front and imagine you're a chair." I did. "Roll down to the floor carefully with your hands relaxed at your sides. Now imagine you're a bridge." I did. "You're stretching proudly from east to west. Get on all fours and imagine balancing a dinner plate on your spine. Plant your hands, plant your feet. Feel your buccaneer muscles, your risorius, the nasal, labian, tensor, fascia to fold. Your torso is a sash." Her eyes were lit like lampposts, and her mouth suggested a vacuum tugging at the atmosphere, a recession in time. I felt like I could fall in love with inanimate objects, something that I, like most people, have been trained to do since the time of my birth. So many directives to propel the palm of the hand to touch metal. And then I stopped myself in my tracks. "I will not profit from the suffering of others. I wish to be the beneficiary of a good lifelong career and one that should not be in any manner exploitative." Part 4. Traveling used to be a favorite hobby of mine. Sometimes, when I would be a passenger on an airplane, I would imagine a scenario in which I would look out the little portal window and see some kind of a bird, like a blue jay, staring at me eye to eye. I'm extremely surprised that this has never happened. Nevertheless, ever since my problem began, I have not been able to successfully board an airplane. However, I had been longing to take a vacation somewhere serene, like an island with a volcano, for quite some time. Several people gave me recommendations until I settled on the idea of visiting a volcano that was supposed to possess many rare qualities. Apparently, it made the sound of a human breathing in and out. I purchased a first-class ticket, and it was because of this hefty expenditure that the airline staff was especially accommodating and attentive when it turned out I could not board the plane. A group of about seven or so flight stewards and ticket takers hovered around me, trying to figure out how the problem could be solved. As they stood, all dressed in the same uniforms, except that the men wore pants and the women wore skirts. Huddled and tall, they looked like a forest of willing syringes. Then one young man stepped forward, obsequiously and professionally kind. "Why don't we try to see if you can squeeze into your luggage?" We all thought it was a great idea, and they all began to shout at me at once. "It is primary that you reach the volcano. Alternate bringing your knees to your elbows and begin to count." And I felt it was working. When I 8, 9, 10, and 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5, 6, when I look at their faces, side lunge and touch down as if you were cannonballing into water. Hop with your left knee dropped over your left toe. Feel yourself moving like a windmill, like a swimmer, like you're in a jumpsuit. Domino from side to side. I 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Like you're swinging a kettle or belt in your right arm. Now out your elbow and more. These dear people earning a paycheck. And as a result of this particular bodily contortion, my mind began to produce very specific thoughts, like a taste for drag racing in my monster truck, for example, and a desire to have an immaculate track record with members of the opposite sex. In other words, my body, in only this position, became a very hospitable host to a certain and finite set of thoughts. But later I would regain myself. I will not profit from the suffering of others. Part 5. Road rage in the city is worse than ever, and I have been thinking of leaving this dreary place. A very dear friend wrote me a letter that smelled of cologne and suggested no less that I join a traveling carnival as a contortionist moral advisor. You would be able to work, forage for the bazaar as well as the world's gems, scan the sky at your leisure, influence minds. "But dearest friend," I said, "how would I ever fit into the tent or the trailer or the designated building? These days, I'm finding it difficult to stay put inside my own skull. Why, the other day I wrote, I was watching some swans swim around a small pond during my lunch break. And I swore that for a brief moment, I couldn't fit into my own skull. This had nothing to do with size. I was unwrapping a sandwich and suddenly flashed to myself washing my hands with a stub of old white soap, which I had done about 10 minutes earlier. Then for a brief moment, I was convinced I saw my own thoughts steaming in the grass, and I thought the swans were vultures. But this didn't frighten me in the least. All the world's creatures, even we, have our necessary forms of enterprise. If only we knew with certainty that our effect on the world was a good one. A mild-looking older woman who had been feeding the ducks saw my predicament and told me to lie down in the grass and catch my geographical bearings. "Draw your shoulder blades behind your heart," she instructed, "and lift your legs up about 30 degrees. Dive into yourself and streamline your speed. Your temperature should plummet as you feel yourself more maneuverable than ever. Inside your body, another journey starts, the nucleus. Your muscles contract to keep all your thoughts suspended. Everything is bound together by membranes. The cavities in your bones are seeding points. Now grab opposite hand to ankle, extending each leg. I had to get it right. My body had to. It was a matter of rolling forward. From this position, I could feel that every moment of life counted for something. Returning to my skull, I renewed the pledge that I had been uttering so frequently to you, only in that moment I had forgotten how to speak the words. Next part. Unless I fit, I will never be right. I have a vague memory of a picnic, and I used to be my own child. I used to be my own son, my own daughter. The river was teeming with fish, but I was ungainly and could not leap the rapids with all of my buddies. These used to be my feet. This used to be my head. But I do not recognize you anymore. It's gotten so that my heart cannot fit into the heart of another, which is where I want to be. When I 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3'd and milled about, when I looked at the streets, when I looked at a field, the open sky gives no creature anywhere to hide. I bought a bag of almonds but could not put them in my mouth. Then the same thing happened with the bag of fruit. This will not do. But I cannot profit from the suffering of others. I cannot. I will swim into someone's heart, and my heart will be as big as the world, and my heart will contain the sky and many, many cities and islands. You will all see. I will begin a series of low push-ups. Next section. Man-made, maneuvering myself, moreover, to see the world more accurately. I needed a new pair of spectacles, as I had broken the last pair during my calisthenics by the lake. Therefore, I went to a shop that sold them. The shopkeeper gave an audible sigh. Sternum, your chest swelling like a great river. I feel that I have the most fantastic shoulders. And don't you need them, he asked, when you lived in a great big city? Use just your own body weight to corkscrew back on your heels, side lunge, see the little fire part, press your tongue to the roof of your mouth and lean forward with your knees high, squeeze, soft but not locked, your cheeks like a swan, your hands give offspring, a little dip in the lower back, the eyes of your elbows pointed to one another, 7-6-5-4-3-2, clap. I straddled my way into perfect form, that's it, that's it, keep walking, 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 talking, walking, talking, until my body stops me, push, pull, take a hold of my right leg and stay my left one, lift my heart, switch sides, unwind, swing, wrap, preen, drop my head toward my heart and tail, intertwine. What a supreme element of surprise, what a dive, how breathtaking, and never once did I profit from suffering, nor will I ever, shame on those who do, root it out and scatter yourself out of this world.
Nobody knows how dry I am. Nobody knows how dry I am.
You know, kids, you're not drinking. You're not drinking enough. You're not drinking enough of the right stuff. You gotta drink a lot of juice. How about a little drinking music? Learn to be a drinker, a drinker, and your muscles won't get loose. Just drink your papaya juice. You'll be eating nuts and grapes, be the king of Tarzanic. You'll be swinging on a limb, lose that fat and get real thin. In a tree you'll have a hut, in the street you'll find a nut. And if people think that you look weird, be like me and grow a beard. And what's wrong with a beard? Shakespeare had a beard. Lincoln had a beard. In fact, our great Uncle Sam had a beard. So learn to be a thinker, a stinker, I mean a thinker. Think of living in a tree, and you'll wind up, and he'll wind up, and she'll wind up, we'll all wind up.
looking like a me. You keep saying you got something for me, something you call up, but confess you've been messing where you shouldn't been messing. Someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. You keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saving when you ought to be changing. Right, yeah. Boots are made for walking, that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk right over you.
Hello, everybody. Thanks again for being here on this nice evening in November. This is Guru Rugu and the Experimental Meditation Hour at Kaechung Radio. We just heard an amazing tract from Amanda Ackerman titled "I Fell in Love with a Monster Truck." Thank you so much, Amanda.
Thank you, Guru Rugu.
Yeah. I thought maybe for the next part of the show, about one or two shows ago, another fine artist came on named Andrew Chawate, and he did a really wonderful mantra that involved my name and the show. And it was so fantastic, I thought that maybe we should replay it at some point and maybe in retrograde. So that's what we're going to do, except it's been compressed from around 55 minutes to about 18 minutes. So we're going to hear Andrew Chawate's Guru Rugu meditation from earlier, from about, I think it was from September. And then we'll get out of here. So enjoy.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.